Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Welcome, everyone, to this special reunion of former Bethesda devs to talk about the Elder Scrolls Oblivion Remastered. I have with me today on Kiwi Talks, I have Jeremy Bryant, Nate Perkypile, Bruce Nesmith, and Kurt Kullman. How you doing, guys? You good?
Doing great.
Good.
Great.
Good to see you, man.
Yeah, it's good to chat with you guys. A good place to start off, I suppose, is with the art style of Oblivion Remastered, because that's the thing that's had the massive overhaul. Keen for your thoughts on it. I noticed that the color grading is different with the environments compared to the original. I'm not sure if that's something you guys liked or disliked, but keen for your thoughts.
I mean, I can mention that. I think maybe it's like slightly too far going a little more realistic, because it was very exaggerated greens and stuff in the original, but I think it also looks very modern and it looks fantastic. So visually, I am a fan of how it looks, even if it is a bit of a departure. And that's easy enough for people to fix. And obviously, it's like one of the top mods. It's like, oh, remove the color grading.
Yeah, and with Unreal 2, you have, you know, there's so many more dials to like adjust things. And even to be able to really actually color grade something, you know, probably. Yeah.
It just looks amazing. That's, I mean, your issue doesn't even hit my radar. I'm just too busy enjoying the look.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I have a different, I was curious about how the people that worked on it think about that, though, of having, you know, because as a designer, all of our work is still there. It's identical. Mm-hmm. Nothing has actually changed. Whereas if you were an artist and you made art that's now been replaced by someone else's art, I'm curious as to what, you know, how that would feel. That I find the whole remastering concept pretty questionable, just as a I get it as a business proposition, but as a thing to do, I'm not very comfortable with it personally.
Well, there's different takes on it, right? Because you have like HD, where it's up res, you've got a remaster, and then you've got a full-on remake. So do you have a problem with all three, Kurt?
Well, I guess I haven't thought
that deeply.
I'm not saying that I have like the greatest take on it that I've thought deeply about it, and this is the ultimate word, but I feel kind of like you're not playing Oblivion anymore, you're playing something else. I mean, I know it's called something else, but I don't know. The closest analogy I could get is like colorized movies, which I don't know if, I mean, there are people that like that and people that don't, but my feeling on that is if you're watching like a black and white movie that's been colorized, you're not watching the movie that the people that made it intended you to be watching anymore. You're watching something else.
Speaking as an artist, I don't know if I would agree with that, because especially in this particular one where it's like the design, like you said, it is totally intact, but the art, I would argue people back then as an artist at that time, you know, it's like, you wanted to always do so much more, but you were always like so technically constrained. It's not like a film where like you could film a set and that is a set. And like, sure, cameras got a little better over time, but fundamentally you were filming real stuff. But we were always like so hamstrung by technology for so long that I think it's really nice for people to actually express themselves more of the way they actually intended these days.
Yeah. And I didn't work on Oblivion. So I understand what you're saying, but I guess I can't comment on it in that way, because that, you know, that wasn't my that wasn't my thing, so I guess I don't have those feelings about it. But I think it's neat to see it modernized. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I didn't
Yeah, I mean,
work on it either. Go
it's
ahead.
neat. I mean, I find it seductive, but I don't know if I like that. Like, I'm enjoying, like, I'm like, wow, this is cool. This is like, it's really
Well,
awesome to see
what's
it.
even more interesting is if they, I mean, it sounds like they're doing this, like, brains and body, right, implementation of it. So the CK is largely still running all the logic. So if you've got some kind of like almost automated way to just like grind out a new game by, remaking assets and like connecting some libraries like that, then you're going to see more of it for sure, I would think.
Oh yeah, I mean, and I absolutely get it as a business proposition, like why not? And it is, I find it very, I haven't played a ton of it, but I did manage to play like a, I just closed the Kolach Gate. It's kind of, it's disconcerting, I guess, because it looks like a modern game now. Like, but it is absolutely an old game. Like when you're
It feels
playing it,
like
you're like, oh
Oblivion.
God,
To me, it
oh
feels
God,
like
this
Oblivion.
interface. Oh, this is the combat? Oh, okay.
Yeah, all
It's
those
so
quirks are
like,
still there.
yeah, it's so old school. People are the people act really weird and they navigate horribly. And like, you're watching them move from point to point on the, what do we call it, Bruce? What's the
The
name of the,
grid. It was a
it's
point
not a,
grid.
yeah, whatever. We had a name for it, but it's like, so it's sort of, if you see screenshots of it, you're like, wow, that looks perfectly awesome, modern, like up to date. And then you play it, it's like, okay, it's got, it is literally every, I'm sure it preserves all the bugs because I think they didn't change the underlying game. That would have been a completely insane undertaking.
Yeah, it's not
So
like the
it's a
Resident Evil
very,
remakes, because in the Resident Evil remakes, they rebuilt the whole game. But
yeah,
obviously,
everything. It's a
to
remake,
do
not a
that for
remaster.
Oblivion would be so much harder than a Resident Evil game.
Well, it still
Yeah,
took
you just make a
years
new
for them to
game,
remaster
right?
it, didn't it? It was
Yeah,
like
I mean, that's
3 years.
a ton of art.
Yeah, it's a crazy amount of art.
Not saying it's not hard, just to go that extra step further. It would become very debatable whether it would be worth it to like rebuild the entire game and solve all of those problems.
That would have
Well,
been
and I gotta
ins
believe that
totally
the,
not worth it.
while I certainly wasn't involved in it, putting in the Unreal Engine in place of the Gamebryo Engine, that had to have taken a certain amount of technical effort. That's not trivial.
Oh, that seems like a crazy Frankenstein something going on there. That, just to imagine how that would work, to
Yeah.
have the renderer be unreal, but the rest of it, the old code, like we probably do not want to know anything about how that works.
What it took to do that.
There's a
I
lot of
called, I mean,
precedents
we
for that. In a previous interview, I
rewrote the
called this
render like almost every
Oblivion
game though too,
2.0.
right? So
Yeah.
sorry, Jeremy.
I said we rewrote the renderer almost every game anyways, right? So is it that different than, than that?
It was really, everything was so tied together though. Like, I have a feeling that this was a really tough, just, and then if you took it to the next level of taking all that really primitive old, like the way everything worked in the old CK, to try to pull that into Unreal,
But
you
it's
may
like
as
a
well just start
parasite.
over and not
It's
even.
not even like rebuilding it. It's like attaching on top of it and
Well,
following the
that's, yeah, I
logic.
mean,
It like
that
it's the
part
same way
actually makes a lot more
Bluepoint
sense.
has done like their remasters for like Shadow of the Colossus, and lots of adventure game remasters have done the same thing where it is running the old thing. So I think it's super clever. I think it's a smart way to do it.
The
I
neat
wonder
thing
if
too
they'll
is you.
release the new CK for it so people
Is
can
it
mod
even?
it.
I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't think they are. They're not gonna have a official CK for this, I wouldn't think. That said, I'm sure you can make, I would imagine you could still make mods for it.
I feel like people are making mods for
They
it.
are,
I think
well,
that I
I think
read
you can,
somewhere
but I
that the
don't think they
mods,
design side, the art side, I
not
don't
so
think they'd be able to make them, but I don't
much.
know. I'm
They'll find
guessing
a way.
based
They'll
on,
find a way. Yeah, they'll find a
I
way.
mean,
Yeah.
if they can find a way to override the Unreal pack files, they probably can, because anybody can download Unreal. True. True.
The neat
As
thing
long
too
as you're
is they
modding
can just,
something that's already in the CK, right? You're just
they can
changing
just
the
give us
art
to a
if
different
you.
team and ask them to figure it out, right? Versus having to distract, the other team that's working on the next game. Right. So it's also attractive in that sense.
Definitely an
It's,
impressive achievement. Like the fact that
oh
they got it
yeah.
working with this, somehow with the old engine, the old EXE is under there. and Unreal is, yeah, the parasite on top of it is, to me, it's insane, like that it works. It's insane in an impressive way.
I think it's a really impressive achievement. My hat's off to them for what they've accomplished with it.
I think it does beg the question, though, that kind of sets the precedent for then Test 6 needs to look that good or better. And that
I
Unreal
don't
5
know. I
bar is
actually
pretty
don't think.
hard.
Oh, you really
See,
think?
I was
I don't think
thinking
that'll be a
Fallout
problem.
3. I mean,
Well,
I would assume they do that also,
yeah, they
honestly. Like,
will. Yeah.
clearly, I have no clue if they will or not, but with the show
Nope,
being
me
so
either.
popular, that would be a great idea. And speaking of someone who did
Or
work
New
on Fallout
Vegas,
3,
you know,
I want to see
yeah.
it remastered. I want to see my stuff looking all fancy with Unreal. Go for it, guys.
Yeah.
I did see a rumor that they are working on a Fallout 3 remaster. And I suppose if you've already got the template there, then
Yeah.
it would
That
make
was
the
like with
pipeline faster.
the PC and Mac porting. Like once the developer like wrote their own like libraries to link to the other platform, you could just keep making Mac games out of PC games, right? Largely. And I would imagine it's the same thing. Well, they're gonna leverage that for sure. And the good thing here would be the difference between Oblivion and Fallout 3 is small.
Yeah.
So what they would have to change to do the same thing would be pretty small, or like hardly
They'd
anything.
already
So
know
they
the yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a
that
good
render
point.
is not that different. We
So
didn't
how
get
did
shadows until Skyrim.
guns
Yeah.
though?
So are you happy that they kept the level system the same?
Here it is.
Talk about
You
the
know,
leveling up or
I'm
the scaling.
gonna go with Kurt's take on this. Oblivion is a game that is a point in history. It's a
Yes.
significant point in video game history. And the choice to keep the leveling the same, and there's, by the way, leveling's an overloaded term, so you could be referring to several different things. I don't have a problem with it because this is the game that people remember. This is the game they want to play. It just looks fresher, looks newer, looks better. If you were to change too much of what's underneath it, it wouldn't be Oblivion anymore, and it wouldn't be the game people want. So, if you're talking about character leveling versus monster leveling versus environmental leveling, I mean, those are all different questions, but I would still say that's the game, and it was probably a good decision to keep it the same.
Do you remember how you came to the conclusion of how you designed the leveling system back then?
That
At
I'm
this point,
going
we need
to
to know what you
defer
mean by
for my
leveling.
NDA.
Touche.
I'll
Probably a good
answer it.
idea.
Go for it. You haven't gotten a letter yet, Kurt. YOLO.
Well, first off, when you say leveling, do you mean the player leveling or do you mean the world? Yeah.
Well, I suppose that's a good point. I suppose both. Like, how was the leveling? Like, how did you design the leveling system
I
for
mean,
all of its
the
different components?
leveling.
But I suppose for the environment and characters, monsters.
Well, Bruce, you'll have to remind me if you remember. Like, did Morrowind have the same, like, do stuff and level up? Morrowind also was
Oh,
not XP,
yes.
was it?
Yes, it
Yeah.
did. Because part of the changes was rejiggering what counted as a skill use for every single skill.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, so that in itself was already sort of established. I mean, we obviously monkeyed with it and we tried to, make it better, improve it, fix the holes. There were some, the exploits of when you were, I'm trying to think, I don't know, I'm not that familiar with like the ins and outs of Mormon because I didn't work on that, but the skill leveling by doing stuff has lots of ways to exploit, or it just, you run everywhere and you level up, or you swim and you level up. Stuff like that. You jump everywhere, like, and your
Yeah,
acrobatic skill goes up, and you
that's
level up.
totally how I remember playing the game,
We
jumping
were
around like an idiot.
always
We were always
acrobatic
struggling with
jumping.
that.
But I think that was so fundamental to like the Elder Scrolls that that wasn't really in question, right, Bruce? That's my recollection. I mean, I don't know who was in charge of that. That would have been Ken, I guess. It wasn't. Was it you? Okay. I don't think there's any NDA involved in this kind of stuff. Is there, like, how do we decide? My recollection is it was carried over from Morrowind and we just were going to like improve that.
The
Thank
how do
you.
we decide
Sure.
is covered by NDA. The what is in it is not.
Okay.
That's actually one of the
Right. Well,
strange lines
I will
in the
speculate since I don't know because I'm not you. I will speculate on what you are
NDA.
thinking, and that can't be covered by NDA.
Nope.
As far as the world goes, that I mean, I've had this. I don't think this is a big secret either. It's the question of how do you handle. In an open world game where we don't have zones, right? That was always what we were struggling with is in a zoned game, you can say, you shouldn't go here. You're not right level.
It's the
In an open world
scaling.
game,
It's either
we don't have a good way to communicate to the player. You're in, like, if we say there's our high level areas, these are low level areas. In Oblivion, you would have had to learn by dying. Like you had wandered into the wrong place and just died because
Technically, that was
unless
true
you
for
were.
Skyrim also. There was
Well, but
no
we had better
message saying
tools in
you're in a high
Skyrim.
level.
No, but we had ways to like, we had a lot more sophisticated leveling in Skyrim.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owners Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpoints. TC.
Than we did in Oblivion, we learned by doing. So I think, honestly, given the constraints, time and resources we had, I think we did make the right decision. I know of the world everywhere levels with you. I know people. That's one of the knocks people have on Oblivion, but I think, in my opinion, the alternative was worse. So you can go anywhere, and you are not just going to get your ass randomly kicked because you wandered into the wrong place. Yeah, there are ways we could have done things that, Todd refused to do, like put the level of something on the UI when you're looking at it, things like that. He really never wanted to do that. So given that constraint, I think what we did, and obviously we learned and we made things better for the later games with locking in levels, bans of levels, min-max, things like that. But for Oblivion, it was kind of a, you've every game we hope you've learned something and make it better. So I think, and I don't think if you change that in Oblivion, I think you would be making essentially like you could make a Skyrim mod that was Oblivion. That would be fun and cool. I would probably like to play that, but that wouldn't be Oblivion. That would be the content of Oblivion in Skyrim's systems.
True. I did read something online recently, which I thought was pretty funny, and I was pretty skeptical as to whether it's true or not. So I thought I'd ask you, get the opinion from the horse's mouth, so to speak. So I read somewhere because Todd Howard was such a huge fan of the Lord of the Rings films that the devs used that to their advantage. So whenever they'd pitch to have something in the game, they'd say, "Oh, this will be just like Lord of the Rings." Is that true or false?
Haven't heard
It sounds
that
plausible.
one. I believe it. I thought that's just where the Eye of Sauron thing maybe came from.
Anytime you're dealing with a boss in any organization, if you understand what that boss likes, gravitates to, etc., people with half a brain are going to use that information to color the things they want to get done. That said, I constantly colored everything I did with a variety of bosses at Bethesda to suit the things that they thought were cool.
Smart.
That's just something that happens. That's something that happens in every single organization, everywhere around the world. If you know your boss, you pitch to them in a way that they will be most likely to accept it.
Don't hate the
Matt,
player, hate
yeah.
the game.
I mean, my feeling on that is that Todd isn't that like easily manipulated. So that
He's
if,
sharp. He's very
I
smart.
might be, if I went in and was like, hey, you should do this idea and it's just like Lord of the Rings, I don't think I might say that and Todd might laugh and maybe would be like, okay, that's a cool idea, but he wouldn't be tricked because I said Lord of the Rings, you know. It would be just like a way to sort of, I
Like
don't know,
frame
to
stuff.
pitch, yeah, to frame it as a like, this is why we should do it, not and not because he's like completely oblivious to what you're doing. It's the opposite, I think. And it
It
definitely
gives you
at
a
the
couple
time,
percent extra. It doesn't, it's not a make
yeah,
or break thing.
I wasn't there at the beginning of Oblivion either, but I'm pretty sure that, Lord of the Rings was hitting. When did that actually come out? Did it come out
The first
Todd, I
one
believe,
or
has
during?
said publicly that Oblivion is supposed to be your standard Lord of the Rings style fantasy game. That I
Yeah.
believe is a public statement.
Yeah, and I think it did. I think it was either right before or during. It definitely influenced, like, this is hugely popular. Why don't we ride that wave? There's no reason not to.
Yeah,
Like,
makes sense.
let's sort of, instead of fighting it, go off in a different direction. Be like, hey, we can appeal to this thing, which is, obviously people are into this kind of fantasy. Let's do that. This is the kind of game we have already. So why not, like, emphasized? I don't
But
see it. That seems obvious.
if you look at Oblivion, it's not Lord of the Rings.
Oh
There may
no.
be
No.
an influence there, but the types of stories that are being told, the type of lore that's going on in the background, all the different aspects of it, it's not Tolkien. It's not even Tolkien-esque, really. It's just maybe influenced by the popularity of the films or the books, et cetera, at that point in time to say this is standard fantasy. These are the tropes that we want to hit. But Elder Scrolls lore is its own thing. It is not Lord of the Rings.
I mean more, and like you look at Morrowind and you look at Oblivion, obviously Oblivion is way more classic fantasy. And I don't know that is not at all just because of Lord of the Rings. I think Todd himself likes the classic fantasy more than the sort of Dune weird Dark Crystal Morrowind vibe. I mean, because Skyrim also is also in the more classic fantasy than
Yeah, but with like the Viking
Morrowind.
tilt for
Yeah,
sure.
but
Nordic
I mean,
influence.
Morrowind is the thing that actually is the anomaly at this point, not Oblivion, right? Like, so it
Yeah,
isn't just
I
like, oh, Lord of the Rings, let's chase that. It's really just classic fantasy has wider appeal than the weird fantasy of Morrowind. That's true. The Lord of the Rings demonstrates it, but it isn't like, oh, we'll just make it like Lord of the Rings now. Like, Daggerfall is also classic fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you could say the Planes of Oblivion look a little bit like Mordor or Isengard from the films, and maybe like the Oblivion Gate looks a little bit like the Eye of Sauron. Maybe that's where that came from. I don't know. But yeah.
If you had to say it was close to something, I would actually say that they're closer to Dungeons and Dragons than they are to Lord of the Rings, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, the Oblivion Planes are spot on, like hell. Like, if they're anything, they're just make a fantasy hell. I mean, that's, you got your lava, you got your spikes, you got your black and red, you've got demons walking around,
I mean, aren't there
sword
also a
bodies
bunch
hanging
of
from spikes.
Warhammer parallels with like the names of races and stuff like that? It's like classic Warhammer has
Well,
influenced a whole bunch of stuff in general.
yeah. What did you got?
maybe. I mean, if that's true, that goes back to
Oh, it's like way back.
Bruce
Before
and
your
I are
guys.
not responsible for that. That's like the people before
That's
us.
Arena and Daggerfall days.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for
That would
sure. This
be
is like old
Julian
school.
Le Fay
I
and
mean,
Ted Peterson.
I can't believe that Bethesda somehow avoided, the copyright lawsuits or whatever from the, if you just go through like Daggerfall and Arena and just like things that are in those games that are from other works. I
But it's
mean,
not the first time too. There's also like you can look at StarCraft, and that is like 100% 40K ripoff in a lot of ways.
well, yeah. I don't know how they got away with that either.
Well, everything's influenced by everything to
I'm
some
not
extent.
necessarily saying it's bad, and like those are all great games, and
And
I'm a big fan of both.
I don't mean influences. I mean some of the names of like places and things are just straight up from something else.
Unless they
Is
filed like
it?
a specific trademark, I'm guessing it's fine.
It may be that we are now that Elder Scrolls became more like if they didn't fight it,
That's
then
true too, especially
you
if
kind of
they,
win, right?
even if they did have a trademark, yeah, if they didn't fight it, that essentially means they already lost. That's part of why some of those lawsuits happen, like from ZeniMax even, like they sued, like Mojang back in the day because he had a Scrolls game.
Right.
And legally speaking, you have to sue those people when you have trademarks that are similar.
Yeah, and it makes everybody, they're like, oh, you're the bad guy, you're so mean. Like, no, that's from my understanding, I'm not a lawyer. That's just how copyright law works. If you don't defend it,
I'm not
you
a
lose
lawyer
it.
also.
So could that be what happened with Pokemon and Power World? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know
I feel
Japanese
like that's a
stuff.
lot more egregious.
Yeah. What did you guys like the input of like a run, being able to run in the game now?
Sprinting is amazing.
Yeah.
Yes, every game has to have sprint.
The fact that I didn't even remember that it wasn't in the original
Yeah.
game when I was playing this means that it was a good addition, I guess. Why didn't we
Yeah.
have sprint, Bruce?
I have no clue. I do not remember that discussion at all.
I mean, it's like Fallout 3 didn't have aim down sights also, and then you go back and you're like, oh
Actually,
yeah.
I have an idea. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's always been our problem that the engine couldn't handle this the speed
A
of
loader. Oh, I would
speed.
believe that. Yeah. That
Because
would make
our
sense.
horse, like in Skyrim, the horse, you could run basically, I think you could run as fast as the horse could run, because otherwise we couldn't. We had a very like there was a max speed that you could move through the world, or the game would not be able to keep up with you, and you would start like hitting like loading pauses and
Most
things like
certainly,
that.
yeah. Well, that
Yeah,
was the
that loader
problem.
stuff
So
is
I would
touchy.
imagine Oblivion running on the Xbox, that was a huge problem for us. Like when we found out halfway through development the new specs of the Xbox, which I think was like half the memory of what Microsoft had originally told us.
No big deal.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't even have to
I
have a
wasn't, I
hard
mean, I'm
drive.
not a programmer, so I wasn't involved in that, but I, it was a small team and
Yeah.
that was a huge calamity of
You
like, oh
could
my
play
God, how are we
Oblivion
going to get
off
this
the
to run?
disc, right? You could play Oblivion off the disc on the 360. You didn't need to install it, did you? Could you
I
stream the
don't
game from the
remember.
disc? I think you
I
could.
don't remember.
I didn't play it on the 360. I played it on the PC, so I don't remember.
I
I
could be
played it
totally
on
wrong. It's
360,
20
but I don't
years ago,
remember.
but I feel like you
Yeah.
could play it off the disc.
But it was supposed to be a launch title for the 360,
Mm-hmm.
but I think not entirely, but I think that change of the 360 spec was a big reason why we didn't make it, because it just wasn't, it wouldn't run.
Yeah, I think this has been covered in public in some of the documentaries or something, right?
Yeah.
Other articles have covered this.
I think that was, as I recall, that was when Todd said, we're never doing a launch title again. It's too, because if you don't know the specs of the machine you're making it for up until like too late, it's a huge risk.
Yeah, that's
Well,
total pain.
it makes me wonder where Elder Scrolls 6 will sit, because obviously the
That's a good
new
question.
hardware
Yeah, I could
will.
totally see that being whatever the
Yeah.
next gen is. Certainly
Because,
not coming out anytime
well,
soon.
no, it's not.
when you're owned by Microsoft, the calculation of I'm never making a launch title again may change.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because they call the shots.
It's like, yes,
Yeah.
you are.
Yeah. It's
But
funny.
also, a lot more titles are cross-gen lately because
Yes.
platforms are a lot more standardized these days. And effectively, I know there's more to it, but they are basically all PCs these days with fancy UIs. So it's not a big deal like putting Skyrim on the PS3 and that being a whole thing and that weird processor. That doesn't really happen anymore.
Well, you have to make your
Not
money
as
back as
much,
well.
no.
I mean, you have to make your money back, yeah, but it's not like a completely unique architecture.
Have they said that Tet 6 is not exclusive?
They haven't
They haven't
said
said
anything.
anything as far as I know.
And
It exists. That's all we know.
that would be surprising if it was not exclusive.
Well, would it be?
Well,
They seem to be
historically,
going
Bethesda's
multiplayer.
done the 6 months exclusive. It's exclusive on this platform for a few months, and then it's available
Well,
everywhere. That was the process they used.
historically Bethesda wasn't owned by Microsoft, though.
Yeah, I could totally change it. But yeah, you see that 6 month or a year thing all the time.
Yeah. How was it designing the original world in the original game? Do you guys remember how you looked at designing it? You know, was the Imperial...
You're going to have to be more specific.
Like, was the Imperial City always going to be where it is? Were all the towns going to be exactly where they were? Was there anything that was changed or anything that was discussed early on in terms of how you were designing the overworld?
Well, I'm not at liberty to give you the discussions, but from when I came in to when it was published, very few changes were made, if any, to the map.
The Imperial City stuff from the old maps
underway.
Yeah.
And that was I was also not there when that was being done. Like, that was Ken Ralston and Matt Carafano would have been doing that. And things were pretty solid and stayed that way. Really, the only substantial change was Vach being.
Yeah.
Because that was originally going to be a full city. That wasn't planned at the beginning to be a blown up city. That was sort of a happy, hey, this would really help the schedule, not having to build another city. Plus, hey, it's kind of cool to have a destroyed city. Like, so that sort of was a win-win to get rid of that city. But I don't think anything, I don't remember anything either substantial changing from when I started, which was really, you know, right at the end of pre-pro, I guess, when I started.
After the game is underway for a good...
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
6 months to a year. I'd have to look back and tell you exactly when.
Yeah, but the dungeons, for example, they're a bit more modular, right? You could change them around easier than, say, you would with the overworld. I would think once you set it there, it would need to stay in.
Oh, as far as moving the dungeons?
Stone for the most part.
I think the dungeons would be easy, relatively easy to move around because in Oblivion, especially, we weren't doing much in the exterior. It was mostly interior. There's a little bit of something on the landscape, and then there's a load door. So things like that, I think, would have been, those probably did move around. I don't know that the dungeons were all established like at the very early stages. That was probably more filling in the world as we went. So that was probably done more over the course of the game, and we need more of these kind of dungeons, or we need it, there's a gap here, can we put another dungeon there or move something? That would be another reason to move it, is the main quest or some quest line, this is too far distant between these two points, can we move something closer?
And dungeons in Oblivion were far less sophisticated than in Skyrim, and crank up the construction kit, the creation kit for both games, you can see that immediately.
Mm. That was before there was even a level design department officially, right?
Right.
Joel was one of the first people to get hired on for them. They were done by the art team mostly, right?
Yep. It was world artists and
there
were quest designers and world artists. Those were the two roles that we had. There weren't level designers and I guess it was probably Fallout 3, right? Where we first had level designers.
Yeah, formally. Yep.
I mean, that process kind of started on Oblivion. That I think where there was probably the group of world artists who were actually functioning as level designers kind of got together and were like, hey, this is what we're doing. We're actually level designers. We should call ourselves that. But that wasn't formally established.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think during Oblivion.
Yeah, I don't think Joel was actually lead level designer until Fallout 3.
Yeah.
So how was it first working with Radiant AI during that time? I mean, you guys have probably all worked with it to some extent.
Radiant AI was a Skyrim thing.
Was it?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so, Bruce. I think it was
Oblivion.
It was actually more out of control in Oblivion, right? That was first when people would run in, they'd run away and you'd be like, where'd they go? And they'd come back with a weapon, or they would steal something from someone and then
Yeah, wasn't it just Radiant quests that were for Skyrim only?
There was AI, I wouldn't call it radiant AI. The term radiant AI, I'm pretty sure, was coined for Skyrim. Because
I
you and
even think
I.
I think it was Oblivion, Bruce, because I think that was that whole, the
Yeah.
E3 demo that Todd did with the, it was all faked, the woman shooting the fireball at
Yeah,
the
I know which one you're
dog,
talking about. Yeah, I thought that's what they
right?
called it too.
I think it
Okay,
was,
I'm willing to be wrong.
I mean, it was very, very, I mean, it was, that was the most simulationist game actually that we made, I think,
Yeah.
because in the AI sense, and it, we learned why not to do that.
Was
Like
also
for
super
instance,
cool, though.
yeah, I mean there was cool things like you could, people would literally eat the food on the table when they would go to eat, so that's where you
And
could
couldn't you
like
like
actually
poison people that way?
put the poison onto the table
Right.
and they would eat it. Yeah. But that of course caused a lot of problems, which is after they've eaten all the food, there's no more food. How does the food come back on the table? Stuff like that. It caused a lot of problems. The system of, oh my God, where people had like the threshold of if the how they much they liked you went over like the value of like, you know what I'm talking about, Bruce? Instead of just having like they hate you, now they're gonna fight you. There was two values, and if this value went up by one more than this other value, they're suddenly attacking you. And that was so chaotic and inexplicable. Like one minute you were just having like a conversation and then something would happen and suddenly they're killing you and guards are running in. It was it sounded like a good idea at the time, I guess.
I mean, all that stuff, even though it caused problems, it's part of why I liked the kinds of games that we made
Yeah.
there versus like as cool as the Witcher games are and all that, going into the cities in those games, it's very clearly like a stage play and very, very faked. So that
I mean,
authenticity from the simulation was really cool.
I like simulation, but I think what we learned in Oblivion is that we have to have more control over it.
Guardrails.
It
Yeah, you
was
do need rails for sure.
because we're not making a total simulation game. Like we were making Mount & Blade or something like that, but the combination of trying to do like stories and quests in the middle of this simulation that can just like go off the rails, like it's so many
Yeah.
different ways in Oblivion. That caused so many problems and bugs that we sort of reined things in the later games.
I mean, isn't that why
Well, the
later
positive.
it's like quest people can be in like a spot so you don't have to like go and wake them up out of their bed?
The positives, which you're referring to for that, is the emerging gameplay. I mean, one of my favorite moments in Oblivion is just a very small thing, is I was talking to somebody at, Cloud Ruler Temple, and this guard comes running by out the back of it into the snowy hills, screaming, "You'll never get away with that," because someone else was hunting a deer, and it just made the world feel organic and a little more real than other games where everything was very static and in place. Here I am just, doing something else, and this guy goes running by to take care of a problem that I wasn't even involved with. And
And
that
then
was
that's also
cool.
your story versus a lot of games with that kind of thing.
Yes.
It would be like, hey, everyone saw that same thing happen. It's not the
Yeah,
same.
this wasn't a scene that happens to everybody. It only happened to me. Emergent gameplay, it's a very, very cool
Yeah.
thing.
How do you
I
test
am
that, though?
100% behind that stuff. But it's just that we took it to, we were rookies, I guess.
Oh, it
When we
broke
were making
stuff.
Oblivion,
It broke a lot of stuff.
yeah, because QAing that would be a mission, wouldn't it?
No, Bethesda
Yes, it
games have
would.
no bugs.
Indeed.
But there is a, I mean, that's a joke, but there obviously is a, you can, and I was always on the side of we should, you have to fix bugs that are critical, like that are
Oh, for
breaking the
sure.
game for someone, but things that are just making things weird. You can, you look at other games like you were saying, Perky, of everything's locked down. Like the BioWare games at that time, like you couldn't attack anyone unless they decided we were going to fight. Like that obviously reduces their like complications by a massive amount. Like they don't have any of the like I decided to start a fight in the middle of whatever scene was going on or quest or whatever. Like, but that is part of a key part of the fun of the Bethesda games.
It's
But
part of the charm.
you can't take that away, but you have to find a way to make it you can't literally break the game, right? Like if something that you let happen means someone can't like complete a quest or like they can't advance the main quest because, well, like in Morrowind, you kill the key person. We stopped doing that in Oblivion, obviously. That was apparently a huge QA nightmare. Or actually customer service nightmare, right? I wasn't around then, but you know, the stories were that people would of course forget that they got the message that said, you broke the, whatever they call it, the chain of destiny, which was supposed to tell you that you essentially killed
you
someone
just
important and you weren't going to be able to complete the game, but people would be like, yeah, whatever. And they would play the game for 10 more hours and they'd be like, why is the game broken? They forgot that they broke the game.
Nobody reads.
So. Right.
But the QA team would have been quite small back then, wouldn't it? Compared to now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah. So with every game, I suppose the QA team increased, or maybe you get contractors to come test the game. And I suppose you guys are all testing the game as well.
Everything increased.
Yeah. Design I don't know the numbers, but I'm assuming.
Increased, QA increased.
Yeah, well, sometimes I do wonder because with some games, it does feel like QA just stays the same. But I think it just really depends. Do you think there's ever a scenario where that will not be a problem in a Bethesda game? Where a Bethesda game can come out and there are no bugs or glitches? Or just because of the system and how it is, it's impossible.
Name me any game that has no bugs. Let's start there.
Right. Well,
I mean, it's in an open world game. The only way that would be possible is if it was very locked down, like, and then it would really be what you're talking about as a Bethesda game, in my opinion. Like, if you look at even like Rockstar games, you see many of the same kinds of glitches and weirdness that you have in our games, because that's just the nature of an open world game where the player has freedom to do things, and you know, whether it's breaking the game or just making the game things weird.
Well, I think weird's okay. It's if it's a breaking bug, I think that then that's a problem.
I think
and
catching
that's,
most
I mean,
of breaking
need
bugs
to QA.
Is far
yeah.
more possible. It just definitely takes a lot more extra time and taking that into account and schedule and stuff. But it is obviously way harder in these kinds of games because shipping any
look at Oblivion.
Is hard.
Look at Skyrim. Look at Fallout 3. Look at Fallout 4. The progression in terms of stability and things that would break the game in ways that the player couldn't recover from declined significantly across all those titles.
I think it's kind of, I would say it's nearly impossible to have zero, because especially with the, when you put 10 million people or however many millions of people playing the game, just on sheer percentages, even if it's a very, like it could be a, such a low percentage bug, weird permutations that this, you know, 5 people out of 5 million see because of the strange combination of things that they did. It's almost impossible that QA are going to find every one of those just in an open world game.
I think you're right. And I think that one of the things that people don't realize also is that you can't just fix it. Because in so many cases, when you fix something, you break something else.
Break something else, yeah.
The joke would even be like you break 5 other things sometimes. Like we had have had entire
that's
quest
not
break
even a
because
joke.
Someone like moved
that's
a torch.
Real.
Yeah, that's 100% real.
Yeah.
You got to like triage like crazy to ship those things.
When you're at the very end of a project, the smallest change can have unintended consequences. So if it's not a mission critical bug to fix, you swallow hard, you swallow your pride, and you ship it with that bug. And that's every dev team in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little extra for open world game manufacturers like Bethesda.
Well, I'm glad you're saying this. Yeah, because a lot of people feel like, well, why can't Bethesda just fix it? You know?
Mm-hmm. And I've worked on games where you get like, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say the Penny Dreadful team, if you remember those guys, they used to mock the bugs in games all the time. And then they got involved in the development of a game of their own. And at the end of that, they actually published a, oh my God, we are so sorry. We didn't understand. We didn't get it. We understand now. Mea culpa. Because it's not trivial to fix these bugs. And A lot of times games ship with bugs that the dev team knows about and hates and knows they are going to get comments on and hate from the customer base. But the alternative is worse. So you ship with it and you hope maybe you can fix it in a later patch. And sometimes even fixing a later patch is too dangerous.
Well,
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
there's essentially, well, there's probably more than two kinds of bugs, but if a broad category, two kinds of bugs, like there's a cosmetic bug and there's a more fundamental bug. The cosmetic ones, you would think, oh, you should just fix that, but
Even that's not true sometimes.
that's not trivial necessarily. That's extremely low risk, but that's probably more in the category of it doesn't rise to the level of we should touch the game, and even the low risk. Somebody accidentally, because it's not necessarily that you are going to break the game by fixing the bug. It's that accidentally you touch something else, or just, there are so many ways just in the process of making a new build, something else went wrong that
What was
wasn't part of the bug fix.
there was
And
a there was a bug in Skyrim, I remember, because like a lot of people don't realize, like the cart scene in the beginning when you're riding down to the town to beat your
Oh,
head
Nate
cop,
knows that.
that's not a cinematic. That the game is running. The game is running,
Yeah.
the horse are pathfinding.
Boy,
And
is
I
it.
want to say there was a bug where someone changed like the pathing on a butterfly
It was
or
a
like a
bee.
rabbit, a bee, and it got in the way and the horse tried to avoid it and like went up over
Yeah.
a mountain and the cart like turned upside, because it's not a cinematic. It is literally simulating its way down to where it's trying to get. It's not, yeah,
Yep.
and
It's
something as small
just
as having of a little whatever insect is gonna completely destroy the
yeah.
intro to the game.
Because
So
it was the
yeah.
collision type. The collision type became solid, so it was a solid collision on the bee versus the cart, and it
Yeah, it
had
literally is
nowhere
like
to
the
go
butterfly
except
effect.
up.
Yeah.
That's a great example right there.
Yeah.
But the cosmetic stuff then you have.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have 80 to 120 milligrams, of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Have this giant list of things that you're going to immediately fix in the first patch, right? Like, but you want to spend your QA time looking at the game, because every time you fix a bug, you also have to spend QA has to look at the game again, the
The whole
whole
thing.
game, right? And that's expensive. So you want to minimize that. So you don't want to put in this one fix and then have QA look at it, and then this other fix, then have QA. You want to put in 100 fixes, 100 tiny fixes, and then have QA look at it. So that you don't have to have them cycle through the entire game just for one small
Especially a game
fix.
with 100 hours of gameplay.
Yeah. True. And I saw, I
Not
don't.
that any of us were really, we weren't the ones making those decisions, but that's production type of decisions.
I did see with
But
Oblivion Remastered that they just did a patch maybe 2 days ago,
last
3 days ago.
week,
Yeah, which fixed a whole bunch of stuff. So.
So I've probably got maybe like 15-ish hours into it, and I'm enjoying it because I didn't work on it. So to me, it's like I feel like I'm playing almost like a Skyrim-esque version of Oblivion, and it's kind of fresh to me, right? Because it was so long ago that I played it. But yeah, I got to a point pretty quick where yeah, I had a my game was not as fun to play because of too much charm. But I think with that patch now, it's fixed. So I'm gonna go
And I
back
would
into it.
anticipate there'll be more patches.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases, those patches are in production when the game is shipping too. They just haven't gone through all their QA cycles and stuff.
Day zero pat, day zero patch, day one patch.
Are they still pitching Starfield? I can't even remember.
I have no
Oh,
idea.
sure. I
Yeah.
would
I don't know
imagine
when
they
the
are.
last one was.
So here's a question for you. So we're in the age of video game adaptations that are not terrible anymore. They're reasonably good to great, and obviously with Fallout being amazing, would you guys want to see a Elder Scrolls film or a TV show?
Yeah, why not? If it doesn't suck, that's awesome.
It's done as well as the Fallout TV show. Heck yeah.
I would think it would be easier to do because Fallout's a lot more unique, whereas Outer
tricky
Scrolls...
IP. Yeah, it's tricky IP.
Yeah.
I think the genericism of the fantasy would make it more difficult to make an appealing TV show. That's
I'm with you on that, Bruce. Yeah.
That works against you, whereas it works for you in the video game.
I think it would be tough to make it not seem like just another one of many similar, you know, generic, like they, to get across that this is Elder Scrolls, not just a Game of Thrones ripoff or sort of Lord of the Rings ripoff or Wheel of Time or, you know, there's plenty. I think that would be tough.
Yeah, that's a pretty saturated market.
I would want it to be that. Like, that's what I would want to see is something that actually feels like the Elder Scrolls. But I think that would be tough to translate, but just to get someone who's on the TV side or whatever to, I don't know, to get it. If that makes sense, to treat it right,
because and it's not just understanding it. They also have to have the talent and the resources to be able to pull it off. I mean, obviously, the Fallout TV show, they managed to pull off that level of humor, dark humor, and retro science feel and make that work. You need someone who has the talent to be able to do that, as well as someone who is very familiar with the Elder Scrolls as a series.
Yeah, I think it would be unlikely to work, honestly.
That's tough.
Like, because you're going Fallout, what's Fallout going up against? Versus Elder Scrolls is going up against Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings. Like,
that's the real heavy hitters. That's the generic part of it. That's the generic part of it that works against you.
I remember Pete Hines saying years ago that they would only entertain the idea of an Elder Scrolls film if Peter Jackson was directing it. And then that was when Peter Jackson was at the height of his popularity, right? And I don't even think he directs anymore. He's like sitting on his...
You've also got to remember, these TV and movie adaptations don't make a lot of money for the studios that license them.
But doesn't it have a knock-on effect, though? Because a lot of people went and played Fallout as a result of the show. Did they not?
That's what they're counting on. They're counting on it as a promotional tool. But when you ship an Oblivion, or better yet, a Skyrim, I mean, we all know the numbers. It sold 25, 30, 35 million copies. You know, do the math versus what you pay at the store for that. And you get the idea of the scope of the money that's being talked about. And that's never going to come from a TV show in this day and age of 50 streaming services. It's never going to come from a movie where movies are struggling to still have an impact in the theater and have to go to those said streaming services. So they count on it as a promotional tool. Fallout, the video games, got a huge boost from the TV show. That's where Bethesda would have, and I don't know this for a fact because I'm not with them, would have had their financial impact, not as payments directly from the TV show itself.
Yeah,
of course. For all we know, they're in the busy making Elder Scrolls TV show to come out along with Test 6. Like, they could be. I don't know.
Maybe. Could be. Yeah,
it does seem like a tougher thing to do than the Fallout, though.
And if they do it, I wish them all the luck in the world because I'd love to watch it.
Yeah.
So it would be difficult to pull off, and that's probably why Todd's resistant to it. Because I think
for all we know, he could be pitching it. I don't know.
Who knows?
I mean, with the success of the Fallout show, I would assume that calculation may have changed. Like, there are probably it's probably the other way around at this point. Is people are pitching it to him,
and he doesn't necessarily make all the decisions. I mean, when Robert Altman was alive, Todd had a lot of influence, but there's still occasions where Robert said, "Sorry, Todd, this is happening, whether you like it or not," and you know, I would struggle to believe that people at Microsoft would just do everything he said and never, ever say, no, we need this for reasons X, Y, and Z. So who knows?
Yeah, like I could see a Fallout game being done by another studio these days. Because if I was in charge and saw how well the show did and everything, I wouldn't put that off for that long. I mean, that'd be kind of fiscally irresponsible, potentially.
Well, particularly with how long games are taking to get made now.
You know,
they take anywhere between 5 to 7 years. You don't want to risk your IP being out of the spotlight for that long.
And Test 6 cannot be rushed. Of all the games, that's the one that will, I'm sure, would get delayed if it needed to be.
It's got to be right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Yeah. Final question before I let you guys go. The DLC expansion with the Shivering Isles. Do you remember when that discussion was first had?
Vaguely.
I think it must have been, well, what do you remember, Bruce? I would assume it was probably even before the game shipped, we started talking about it.
They don't talk about DLC until the game is locked down. Now, there's a time gap between when you are past beta and you're heading to the gold disc or whatever you want to call it these days, because it probably isn't gold disc anymore, and the actual release date. But the distraction of trying to plan or talk about DLC while you're trying to finish the game, that's not a good thing. So DLC tends to be talked about after everything is fairly locked down and your staff is much more available to contribute or participate. I don't know specifically about Shivering Isles. I believe it was kind of presented to us, so I don't know what went into the discussions of that, but I don't remember it being talked about before we were actually done with Oblivion.
And it wasn't the first one we did.
No,
I mean, if you want to talk about really small DLCs, you've got, well, the infamous Horse Armor. There was another one, at least one with, like, I don't know, something to do with magic.
There were the towers.
Like, there's a whole bunch, like the wizard tower.
And then there was the one with just a straight up dungeon that Joel made.
Yeah, it was Maimarin's Razor.
Maimarin's Razor. And then the Knights of the Nine, which was one that I worked on with just a very, like, handful of people. That was like a, I don't know if that was a, that was like a crash, like, this has to be done in like 2 months. I don't know why anymore. I don't remember. I think it might have been some kind of, we were always making deals with the publishers or whoever that we were going to deliver this number of DLC by, you know, such and such a date. And I think that might have been what Knights of the Nine was all about. Because that, Shivering Isles was obviously much bigger. So that one, you know, we took, that one came, I don't remember exactly, but that one got worked on for quite a while.
And you have to remember, the Oblivion DLCs pretty much pioneered the modern concept of a DLC.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, very experimental about what DLC even is.
Yeah.
I would be reluctant to say they were the first DLCs, because I don't know that they were, and I don't think they were. But they were the first ones that were of substance. And I remember it was a whole big conversation with various publishers and Microsoft and whatnot about the DLC for Oblivion. And
it might have been the first paid DLC on a console.
Yeah, not just like the previously, it was like expansion packs that would come out.
Yeah. Because the Horse Armor was so controversial of like, it's, I can't believe we're making us pay for this, or the price point was too high. And you look at what people are paying for now. And like, seriously?
I'm sure that thing has made so many millions of dollars. It's hilarious.
It is. So what was your question about Shivering Isles?
I mean, was it always intended to be as big as it was? Or did
I think so. I think that was its goal, was a big, like, separate place. You know, I think the model of that would have been like Solstheim, right?
Did that come before or after?
That was Morrowind. But I mean, the
Morrowind? Okay.
Like, the expansions of Morrowind were big, and they, like, added to the map, and I guess Shivering Isles was it, right? We didn't do another one that added a whole extra area to
Oblivion. No, not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, I think that's the last one.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks great in the remaster, because of all the interesting use of color.
I thought it was cool they included it in the remaster, that it's just part of it.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that, actually.
Yeah.
Because that was the brainchild of Adam Adamowicz, like, he came up with the concept of it, if I recall.
I don't know that Adam came up with the concept for the DLC.
In terms of the
When
look,
you,
in terms of the
the look would
was
be another
Adam?
story.
Yeah,
I
that's
didn't
what
know
I
that
meant.
Adam worked on Oblivion, did he? Was he there
I
at that
don't
point?
remember, but there are a lot of aspects of the look that came from the art side because that's their job. That's what
Yeah.
they do. The design side was focused more on the character Shay Gorath and what that meant for a play space. Whereas the art was like, how do we build a place that's run by someone who's an insane god? And that's what they came up with. Really cool stuff.
Yeah, just I suppose just to come full circle with the art discussion that we had at the beginning, I mean, other devs that I've spoken to who've worked on remasters, they talk about trying to respect the art that came before it and not just paint over the top of it, which is always a hard thing to get right. So I think they did a good job with Oblivion, and obviously, Nate, Jeremy, you guys are happy with it.
Yeah, I think it
I'm
looks
fine with
fantastic.
it, yeah.
Yeah, as artists yourselves. But yeah, I'll wrap up there because obviously some of you have got to go. But before you go, does anyone have any plugs? Anything you need to promote? I'm sure Nate does.
I can plug as the solo dev. Yeah, if you can check out my solo indie game that I made, it's called The Axis Unseen. It's a heavy metal horror game where you hunt monsters from folklore, so you can check that out on Steam. And I also made that really tiny game in like a month called Deedly-Doo Carcour, where you just do parkour with explosions using cars made out of clay. My kids make fun of you when you fail. So that one's fun too. So
I
yeah,
didn't
both
know
of those
that.
are on Steam.
I didn't know that it took you a month. Man, that's crazy.
Yeah, because I was just doing like Axis Unseen patches and stuff for a while, and I was like, you know what? I bet with like photogrammetry, I could just do all the art with Play-Doh and ship this thing super fast because it's really just cars and explosions. It's systems light to the extreme. That's how I was even I had multiplayer in like a week because that's all I have to sync, right? Is cars
Wow.
and explosions.
I'm writing. So I've got Mischief Maker is the book for my series about Loki, and I have a lit RPG series for those people who are into that new genre called Glory Seeker. And I hope to continue writing and producing more stuff. So look for me on Amazon.
Cool.
Nice.
And you guys got anything? Nah.
I'm good.
You're good?
I'm
You're good?
no. No.
Cool. All right. Well, that is the show, everyone. Make sure you share, like, and subscribe. And until next time, stay safe.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.